So how'd you two meet?
We met at UCLA. I was a resident, and
Jules had an emergency.
My tongue was numb.
This weekend, a sweet and funny and touching movie is opening around the country. It stars Annette Bening, Julianne Moore, and Mark Ruffalo.
What'd you do to help her?
I gave her a Valium, and I told her to relax and tried to get her to talk, you know, move her tongue around.
Yeah, actually she started teasing me, and that really helped.
I was trying to distract you.
I know, and it worked. You were really funny.
You were really pretty.
And then, you know, my tongue started working again.
The Kids Are All Right is the first big Hollywood movie about lesbian parents. Bening and Moore play a couple with two teenage kids, kids who decide to track down their biological father, whom you heard there, played by Mark Ruffalo. The movie is co-written and directed by Lisa Cholodenko, and it is her fourth feature film, one of which was Laurel Canyon, another movie I loved. Lisa Cholodenko, welcome to Studio 360.
Thanks for having me.
So your first film, High Art, was this movie about a steamy love affair between two women that a few hundred thousand people saw in theaters. This movie, The Kids Are All Right, has these big stars that millions of people will see in theaters. Was making a movie like this for a wider audience, is that something that you're inspired to do?
Well, you know, this is the first film that I've done with a co-writer. I wrote it with Stuart Blumberg. And part of what the calculation was for Stuart and I was, let's take this theme that could really be like a marginal theme and, you know, super art house, and open it up to be as universal and as accessible as we possibly can, and take all the things that are, you know, potentially rarefied and super subversive, and let's make a mainstream film out of
it. Which you've done. And any having just had a daughter go off to college, you know, as millions of parents no doubt just have, they'll all cry too when the daughter in this film goes off to college. It is entirely accessible, and you know, even though it's about this transgressive subject.
Yeah, well, I think in the end we both felt, wow, that is a really unifying principle. That's really where this family, you know, feels in the most genuine and soulful way.
Like a family and like any family.
Yeah, and like that's the only family they want, you know, in that goodbye circle. That's their kin.
To the degree, though, that it is about gay parents, how do you feel that how lesbians have been depicted in the pop culture?
Well, I don't think there's been much depiction to talk about. Yeah,
word.
I mean, you know, there's the L word. I'm not sure what the conception or the original intention was. They were pretty and they were saucy and they were sexual and they had good clothes and, you know, and all that stuff is positive in a certain way. But I wouldn't say that there was, you know, a real depiction of interior life to any three-dimensional degree. And
so it's not that it has been – lesbians have been depicted badly, just not much depicted.
Yeah. I mean, there was that, and that was a certain style of, you know, lesbian fantasia or whatever. And
there's
a
title.
I don't know what
you could make lesbian fantasia.
I know, right?
Film.
I'm going to do a cartoon for Disney next.
So Annette Bening in this movie, Annette Bening and Julianne Moore play Nick and Jules, who are this couple at the center. They had children 15, 18 years ago using an anonymous sperm donor, which is pretty common. But the uncommon thing here is having the donor then become kind of part of the family many years later. Was this notion, this basic concept, pure fictional conceit, or did you know some version of this in real life?
You know, as it happened, I was with my girlfriend and we wanted to have a family and trying to figure out, well, okay, what are we going to do here? And, you know, thought about doing it with a friend or doing it with an anonymous sperm donor. And that, for a variety of reasons, turned out to be the right thing for us. And then, you know, opening that door, you start asking a lot of questions and, you know, I became very kind of mono-focused in my life.
Yeah, and the particular, this awkwardness between these children and their father, is so interesting because, of course, that exists and it really hasn't existed in this way until now. So you really it was virgin territory.
Yeah. And it was interesting as we screened the film in San Francisco and I had one guy in the audience, you know, kind of his hand went up right after and he was like, oh, my God, it's so exciting to see this film. That was exactly how it happened for me. I met, you know, my biological daughter. I was a sperm donor and she tracked me down and that was exactly like our first meeting and blah, blah, blah. Which was comforting to me to know that
since you made it up.
since I made it up, you know.
Mark Ruffalo plays Paul, who is this lovable biological dad, and then his arrival makes the whole family start sort of losing its established balance, partly because these children start to really bond with him. I want to play a clip where the daughter, Joni, is hanging out with Paul.
Ugh, ignore.
Who's that?
My mom, Nick. She's driving me crazy.
Yeah, what's she doing?
She's treating me like I'm 12. It's like she doesn't want to admit that I'm an adult.
Well, it's your mom. That's her job.
What, just smother me to death? That's not her job.
If you want things to be different, you gotta do that, make that happen yourself. That's your job.
Yeah.
Do you like peppers?
That was a clip from the new movie, The Kids Are All Right. Paul, the father, is this almost too good to be true guy. He's this total stud, really sweet to the children, rides a motorcycle, but has a locavore restaurant and an organic garden that he farms himself. When the Julianne Moore character, Jules, has her dalliance with him, we really get to the heart of this story, which is that disruption of this middle-aged relationship. Did you always know that that was going to be the engine driving this story?
Yeah. I mean, I think that from the very beginning, I had a kind of a sketch of a plot, which was, you know, here's this family, here's this question that's kind of the elephant in the room. And this plot point happens where the mom, you know, one of the moms decides to work out her midlife crisis with this person who's absolutely the wrong person to be working that out with. It really opened up so many questions to have the film structured that way.
Well, and one of the things that's great about the film is that there's not lots and lots of talk, like politicized conversation of, well, this is a betrayal of our sisterhood or any of that stuff.
Oh, my God. That was like the last thing we wanted to do. I think for Stuart and I, we just felt like that wasn't interesting to us, you know, and that by and large isn't where the culture really is anymore. And, you know, sexuality is kind of on a continuum. And
which a lot of your movies have been about that flux and continuum of sexuality.
Yeah, I mean, and I certainly, you know that for some people it's not on a continuum at all. You know, they're resolutely this or that.
Right. And speaking of subverting expectations, there's this very interesting and funny scene in the movie where we see these two women, Jules and Nick, watching gay male porn. Which certainly challenges people's stereotypes of lesbians, I think, and of women, for that matter. What? Where did that come from?
You know, I just have my ear to the ground, and I just know that that's something that lesbians watch sometimes. Not all, for sure, but I've heard that. And Stuart really argued vehemently for us to have that and keep that in the film.
Good choice.
At first, I was like, oh, it's too racy. It's too, you know, bizarre. Nobody's going to be able to relate to that. And then the more I thought about it, I'm like, you know what, people, you never know what somebody's going to pull out of their bag of tricks. And that's what's fun. And that's what's fun about going to movies. You know, you get to learn things about human nature.
At what point did you decide you were a filmmaker? Did you have that calling early?
I didn't. You know, I don't have one of those I ran around with a Super 8 camera when I was five stories. I did grow up in L.A., so, you know, obviously there was film culture around. But I think when I was growing up, I always felt like the film director was just this sort of other kind of human being that belonged in a studio, you know, with a megaphone. And it was like an untouchable thing. Nobody considered having that as a profession.
Really? Even though you were there in Los Angeles?
Yeah, I really did. I really felt like it was a kind of a... It was kind of an unattainable thing. It just never occurred to me that that was something, you know, particularly women could do, you know.
Yeah. Was there a particular film that you saw that was had a galvanizing aha moment experience for you?
I don't remember where I was. I might have seen it overseas, but I was kind of in my early or mid-20s, and I saw Jane Campion's early film, Sweetie. And I remember for the first time, I saw it alone. I was alone in this theater. And I remember thinking, oh, wow, I feel the person who's making the film. I feel the film author. And I felt like, okay, I got it. Like, I got the bug.
Well, I hope people go see this because it's a really terrific film.
I appreciate your support. Thanks.
Lisa Cholodenko, thank you. The Kids Are All Right is out this weekend.